Luke in Los Angeles was on the line before the show even started. He wants to talk about the forced diversity in Spider-Man, which I know I'm going to agree with. Luke, how's it going?
First of all, I'd just like to say there's no excuse for getting dry gulched.
What about me? What about my problem?
What is it, my surface of consideration? Fucking Dwight, he's the best.
Go ahead, Luke.
I know you're a big comic book reader, and you go to see all these comic book movies, so you probably already know about this, I'm sure.
I don't. I would never go see the comic. I hated comic books as a kid. I was a strange little kid. I like girls and fucking sports. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, they must have handed out an edict before they started rolling that there will never be more than one white person allowed on screen at any time throughout this entire movie. There's so much goddamn shoehorned in diversity. I don't need all white people in the movie, but there's so much. It's like it's distracting. You can't not notice it. It's like,
right.
Holy shit.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
I believe that. And it's a comic book. It's a perfect excuse because, you know, a comic book is just a myth that somebody brought alive or whatever. And it's a perfect excuse to force that agenda. And you're right. You can't have, whether it's a Budweiser commercial or a film coming out of, you can't have, I can't remember the last time I saw four white people in a commercial. It could be a commercial for Salt Lake City, Utah. And there'll be three guys in a headdress, a Mexican, a Puerto Rican, a guy from Italy, and two Japanese girls.
I don't know how to make a beer commercial.
There's a listener.
That's my Loke for you. All right, Loke. Well, go ahead.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right. Good job, babe. Appreciate it.
Come on, fucking give a hand for Luke. Jesus Christ, what are you, a bunch of pussies?
That was me and my man Nick DiPaolo's show last week. I love that guy. He's got a show on Sirius now, on the Faction Talk. What is it, 103? With Jim and Sam and that faggot Jason Ellis. I love Nick's show. The top of both hours are great. And then the callers start calling in. I know this sounds ironic because I just was one of the callers, but as soon as the callers start calling in, these average Joe types, they just fucking sink the whole show. Because I don't need to hear their... I want to hear Nick's take on things, not some guy that works in a fucking welding shop in Kansas. Like, and trying to be funny and working out bad, like jokes you'd hear in a break room at a fucking factory. They're like, oh my God, just the hackiest... Whatever. Sorry. I'm driving to work. It's Friday morning. This is really late. I have not really had a chance to do this. I have to drink coffee. Bear with me a second. I know this blows. I'm sorry. Hang on. Problem is, it's 7-Eleven coffee, and the mouth opening on the fucking cup is the size of a goddamn quarter. So that ridiculous amounts of scalding hot coffee come pouring in and burn your mouth. So you got to be really careful when you take a sip. So it takes extra long to annoy everybody extra more. I hate doing these on the way to work, but it's late. I had a rough week, and I had such a late night on Wednesday that I was going to do it on Thursday after I got out of work, but I probably got 2.5 hours of sleep Thursday night. And I was so fucking fried, and I was just so tired, and I just wanted to just chill out from having my brother here every night. Like, I mean, every day, not that it was like extra stressful or something, but just like every day I got home from work, I had to immediately just get home, change, and then go out all night, and then just take my brother everywhere around LA. I'll get to that shit in a minute, but I went to Ralph's last night. I don't know if grocery stores all over the place have these now. I'm not sure if this is a nationwide thing. I hope it's not, for your sake. And it sounds like a minor quibble, but it really annoys me. When you pay cash, I almost never pay cash anyways at the grocery store. But when you do now, there's an automated change machine for your actual coin change that comes out of a goddamn device. It comes down a little like water slide when you give them cash. Instead of her just opening the drawer and handing you the fucking... pulling the change out of the, you know, the classic little slots in the cash drawer they have for the coins, they have to come out of a machine now for some reason. And they never give you quarters. They'll maybe give you... Like my thing came to like $9.30. I gave her a 10. I got one quarter, and the rest was like dimes and nickels. And I'm like, where the fuck are the rest of the quarter? These things, some usually they give you none. If they can give you none, they will. But for some reason, these machines don't like giving out quarters, and I'm just like, it gets me so fucking annoyed. Does everyone have this thing that I'm talking about? It's horrible. I'm like, where? By the time you scoop the change out of the thing anyways, it takes probably the exact amount of time it would have taken for the cashier to just physically, with her own hands, pull the coins out like they've done every day since 1862 when they invented the fucking cash register. Man. I'm listening to fucking Jamie Foxx, which is on Joe Rogan's podcast. And a good handful of times, he venerates Chris Brown in this thing. Talks about how when he first met him, what a good dancer Chris Brown was. How he has Chris Brown over his house and he has like dance-offs with... He's like, yeah, man, the other day I had Chris Brown in my house. He had a dance-off with so-and-so in the living room. And Joe's just laughing his ass off. I'm like, I still don't get how Chris Brown... How is he not spoken about almost with the same reverence that Bill Cosby is? Like, he beat fucking Rihanna into intensive care levels of violence. And it's just a violent asshole who's, how many fucking fights, how much shit has this guy started? And it's stunning to me how it's just forgotten about. They talk about him like he's fucking Michael Jackson, still. And just like Adam Carolla says, because if you can dance, people will let go. They don't give a shit what you did. If you can dance, everything's fine. Doesn't matter how bad the crime is. It's so fucking true. Because I can't believe what that fucking guy got away with. It's not even a second thought. I'm just saying, yeah, Jamie Foxx, would you leave your daughter alone with this fucking guy in your house? Like, really? Do you think this is a good dude who beat the fucking shit? I mean, Rihanna's so goddamn cute. I don't know. That guy is a fucking... I can't believe... What a pass that dude gets in society. Violence is something that plagues us as a society. Remember he says in Boogie Nights. Hang on, I'm making a left here at Woodman. Oh, let me put my sunshade down because whenever I drive this way, I get blasted in the fucking face with sunshine. All right. Let me get to my material. What do I got? I was on the Banks Heist podcast. If you... want to hear it? Honestly, if you know me good, it's basically a greatest hits. It's kind of like, where are you from? What do you do? How'd you get into? Kind of thing. But it was fun. I like that dude. Banks Heist. It's called The Banks Heist. You can get it on iTunes. It's free if you want to hear it. If you don't get enough of my fucking rambling and screeching. I don't know if I've ever done a show 2 fucking days late like this. 2! And, people actually give a shit about the show. It's shocking. I got a good flurry of text messages from angry. My cold's gone. I still just have... me in my 30s now, is the cold only lasts 5-6 days, and then the cough lasts for 2 weeks after. So I still got it a little bit. It's the worst in the morning and then at night before I go to bed. All the time in between is fine, which is when I should be doing this, but I just don't have goddamn time. I don't know if I talked about her last week, but I matched with this broad on Bumble. Bumble, if you don't know, and if you don't, you know what? I'm jealous of you because you shouldn't know. You shouldn't have to know what this is because you don't want to ever have to deal with this. Don't be like me is what I'm saying. It's like Tinder, except if you match... this is a really great idea, whoever thought of this. If you match with the fucking chick, they have to message you first. That's the gimmick. And we all know... how women love making the first move. That's great. That's always a guaranteed match. Now I got to eat a little something. Hang on. I'm really sorry. I'm doing it on the way to work. I know it sucks, but I didn't eat breakfast. I mean, what the fuck is this? Goodness knows. Snack squares? Not bad. Look, no one wants to listen to you chew. It's bad enough you fucking drink coffee. Nobody wants to listen to you chew into the microphone. I know, buddy. I don't want you to trust me. Yeah, hold the mic away so you don't hear my fucking teeth. So, knowing that women aren't crazy about making the first move, you'd assume on Bumble that it'd be a lot tougher even than normal dating apps to match with people. Well, you're right. So, lo and behold, I matched with this gal. She's real pretty. She wears cowboy boots and shit. Real kind of salt of the earth chick. In her early 30s. Looks like she can fucking bale some hay and shit like that. You know what I mean? Not afraid to go out there and get her fucking hands dirty, do a little fucking, do an honest day's work in this world. We start talking. Everything's cool. If you listen to the show, you're going to be shocked where this story goes. Honest to God. You're just going to be like, wow, that was a plot twist I didn't see coming. That was M. Night Shyamalan proportions. I almost said M. Night Shyamalan a ding dong and pretended like I didn't know his last name. Because it's so funny when people do. I've never heard that. I've never heard people do that. It's really funny. Like, that'd be a really funny idea if people pretended like they couldn't figure out Shyamalan, which really isn't that hard to pronounce if you just look at the letters. And just pretend like you don't know his name and go, I don't know, I'm like, Shyamalama Ding Dong, whatever the hell that guy's name. I can't believe I've never heard anyone make that joke. Somebody should fucking write that for someone or something, because that'd be really clever. But, so we're talking, things going well. Make plans to meet, I think it was like a Thursday, last Thursday maybe. And, she goes, tomorrow night, well, I match with her. I'm talking to her that night. She's like, at like 10 o'clock. So let's hang out. Here's the problem. Like every fucking woman I meet, no one could ever be within 150 goddamn mile radius of my fucking place ever. That's the new one now. That's the new one God has pulled on me. It's like 10 o'clock. She lives in fucking Canyon Country, which is like fucking 25 miles away. It's up to 14, heading out towards the fucking desert, Valencia, shit like this. And, yeah, maybe I should hold the fucking mic closer to my mouth, huh? Would that help? I've only done 100 of these. This is episode 100. Luke, aren't you going to do something crazy for episode 100? Nope, I don't really give a shit. Just a number. I've done 100 before of other shows, and I'll do 100 again. You know what I'm fucking saying? Because I like talking into a microphone, even though nothing good has ever come of it. Only bad, only gotten me in trouble, and only hurt people. But, so I'm like, I can't tonight. I'll do it tomorrow night. She's like, okay, tomorrow night. I'm gonna hang out, have drinks, and shit like that. A couple times during the day, we talk. I think I got her, yeah, she gave me her phone number, so we're texting. And I'm at work doing shit, bunch of stuff goes by. And at like, I don't know, 7 o'clock, I'm on the way home, and I'm like, alright, I'm gonna go home. Take a shower quick and I'm gonna come out and see you. And she's like, oh, she's like, I didn't know we were actually hanging out tonight. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, oh, I'm already like 4 beers deep, I don't feel like doing anything, let's go tomorrow night. This is like an hour before we were supposed to fucking meet. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me right now? You didn't know we were supposed to hang out. It was going well. I like this chick. She seemed really fucking cool. See, my goal is to meet someone good and be off these fucking apps so that I don't have to, like, I like getting laid. It's kind of exciting chasing chicks around, but it's really just fucking gotten old too, especially for the summer. You just want to chick around. I love to have just a regular fucking gal. And she's like, yeah, maybe let's do it tomorrow night. And I'm just like, fuck you. Goodbye. Block, delete, gone. Luke, it was, but maybe it was an honest mistake. I mean, she only missed one date. Maybe you guys should have hung out the next night. It would have went great. You know what? I'm done. And I even told her, I'm like, you got to be the fifth fucking girl in a row that has done this, that has blown me off on the first date with like 2 fucking hours notice. Like, if it's that insignificant to you and you care that little, then like, what the fuck do I want to get involved with you for? Like, it's like not showing up for your first day to work. Like, fuck you. I was so fucking, like, it's just kind of like, not heartbreaking. And like I said, if it happened once in a while, I'd be, oh, that's annoying. But when it's every fucking single one that you meet, it really just, like, you just feel like a fucking piece of shit. Like, does anyone fucking care? Like, it's awful. You know what I mean? Like the Turmoil song. Does anybody care? Is anybody there? Does anybody know what I know? No. And then he's, it's a bunch of screaming that Scott Murphy hates. I miss fucking Turmoil. What a great hardcore band. There was 4 guys in the band. 3 of them were named John. Different spellings, but still named John. It was all John and what, Jeff Hydro? Was the guitar player? You missed out if you didn't see, if you never got to be involved with Turmoil. Honestly, if you heard him, you'd be like, wow, Luke, you're right. Jeez Louise, it's like Frank Sinatra, undiscovered. I'm drinking coffee. So that was the end of her. So, as I briefly alluded to earlier, my brother came to visit me. I have not seen my brother in 4 years. Four fucking years. It seemed like a while. But it didn't seem like that long. Holy shit, it's been a long fucking time. Just to catch you up, if you're new, I'm sorry, this is a really annoying episode. I'm really sorry, man. I'm under the gun. I gotta get it fucking done, so you gotta be a little bit of a compromise here. To catch you up, I was never close with my brother. We hated each other growing up. He was a very hyperactive child. I think he had a little bit of learning disability or something like that, but he had like behavioral shit. And he was a very wound up fucking, I mean, we both were, my brother was really bad. And he had like social shit. I don't think he really made friends great. And he just needed attention all the time. Very hyperactive and just basically annoyed me my entire fucking life from the minute he came out of my fucking mom's cooch. Didn't like him. What's he saying, History of Violence? I tried to strangle you in your crib, Joey, when you were born, remember? He did not handle my parents' divorce well. That happened when I was 12, 11 or 12. So my brother must have been 8 or 9. And teenage years, it got worse. There came a point where we would just stop talking. I think the time I hit 16, 17, we were just done. We lived in the same house, and we had to cohabitate, but we fucking hated each other. I hated him. We would see each other Christmas morning and not even say Merry Christmas. I don't even know if we'd say good morning. But, yeah, it was that bad. And then it got to a point when I was in my 20s. We both worked at my dad's, because my brother's a hypochondriac, and got all the worst of my mom's kind of anxiety and shit like that. I mean, I got a bunch of it too, but it manifested in him, I think, more severely, or he just couldn't handle it as good. He lasted at my dad's work a couple months and left because he had something where there was like chemicals and some of the chemical got on him and he had an allergic reaction and completely freaked out. It's like, oh, I don't want to die. He talks like this. He sounds like, he sounds like me if you put me on a reel-to-reel recorder, one of those old ones, like a Nagra, and then slowed the fucking, played it back and slowed it down like Dick Tracy does to Mumbles. And Dick Tracy, Big Boy did it. Big Boy did it. Big Boy did it. Big Boy. And he's laughing and he stops. Where's Lips Manless? Where's Lips Manless, Mumbles? Dick Tracy fucking rules. I still love that movie. We worked at my dad's place, and we would go upstairs in the gym and be working out on opposite sides of the gym and not even say hello. And other guys would be working out that I was like, you know, that I worked with, that I was friends with. I always liked working out by myself anyways. I would talk to them sometimes, but they'd see us working out. And then my brother would leave every time I'd see him, and they'd be looking at me and look at my brother, and then my brother would leave. And they'd come over to me and be like, that's your brother, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, You guys don't talk? Like, did you even say fucking hi to each other? You guys in a fight? And I was like, nope. I just don't like them. And people were so perplexed by it. They couldn't fucking believe it. So they're like, wait. It would be like a 10-minute conversation. And I'd have to tell them what I'm telling you now. I'd have to tell this whole spiel. Like, why? Like, you guys don't talk? Like, did you get in a fight over a woman? People were like, fucking couldn't believe it. But the first time I moved away. And I didn't see him for a while. And the first time I ever really hung out with him in like an adult, he came out to visit when I first moved, after a year after I moved out here when I was 25, and he came out. I remember my ex at the time was like, what are you going to do? Like, you don't even talk to him. Like, what's going to happen? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm just going to have to fucking wing it. I think that when I was drinking, and that helped a lot. But there was never like a, hey, sorry for, there was never an official like acknowledgement of any of the trauma. We just kind of We just kind of hang out and pretend like it didn't happen. Because we're German. And that's how we handle shit. You know, Italian, German, you know, not the most emotional people, not the most empathetic people. Just, you know, kind of taciturn, kind of quiet. Don't really show your emotions. Yeah. I can't even really do Kirk. I'm not awake. It'll fucking blow my throat out and get me coughing. So to catch you up, that's where I'm at, my brother. So in the last 10 years, I've seen him only a handful of times. Maybe it's better that way. We have limited exposure to each other, so we don't really get on each other's nerves. And I'll just give you a, I guess not a spoiler, but to jump ahead, it was pretty nice. I actually had a good time with him when he was here. He was only here like 4 days, but yeah, it was nice to see him. We did shit. All right, what do I got? What happened? He loved the word content. Anything we go, this guy is such a, okay, so wait, let me finish describing. I haven't described my brother the way. Like I said, he was a really hyperactive, crazy kid. And then somewhere along the line, it switched. I don't know if he got on meds or what. But then he switched 180 to where he doesn't really talk much at all. He's very, like, quiet. And he's basically a 75-year-old man trapped in a 30, and he's been like this for 10 years probably. He's very, like, concerned. He carries himself like an old man. Like, I'm telling you. Like, he's super conservative. And, like, I mean, like, even, like, you know I sound like I am, but he's just, like, he's unbelievable. He doesn't, like, talk a lot. He lives in the middle of New York State, basically in a cabin in the woods, and does nothing but fish and go out and catch. I'm not kidding about this. Go out and catch snakes and animals. Now, like, he's a good kid. You know, he's a good kid. Doesn't really drink or do anything. But it's hard for me to relate to him, even though we're like better relationship wise. He's like pop culture. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't really watch. He'll watch a movie here and there. Doesn't really. I remember him growing up. He owned like four fucking CDs, the entire time I knew him. You know, we'd have, like, the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack for no fucking reason or something. But, that sounds, you know, we had the Saturday Night Live soundtrack for no reason. I sound like fucking Florentine. He didn't really, he was, like, seemed virtually amusical. You know, just like, not really into stuff. Just kind of a basic dude. Kind of a simple guy. So, it's hard. Now, you know, fucking me, I can't ever shut up. And I'm into all kinds of fucking pop culture bullshit and everything else. Dude, there's not a lot to talk to him about or relate to him to. So that makes it tough and awkward sometimes. So he's not really highly opinionated either, honestly. Like, he'll have stuff here and there. So it's not like he's not fucking high maintenance like me. Like, he's just good with whatever. And he would always say he was content. I'm content to do whatever. I'm like, what do you want to do, man? Let's go to we'll go to Hollywood and get a drink. That's fine. I'll do whatever you want. You want to go? I'm content doing anything. That was his word. He would always. I'd be like 3, 2, 1. He'd be like, yeah, I'm content. I'm like, okay. He's content. So he's easy to please. We what did we do? We did a bunch of stuff. We did a lot of shit. I took him all over. It gets harder the longer you live in LA. The less you can think of shit to do with people, because when you first moved here, it all really stuck out to you because it was new and, like, you know, you knew all the touristy stuff because it was still fresh, you know what I mean? And after you live here and you drive by it every single fucking day, it just turns into, like, the rest of the city scenery. It gets harder and harder to think of where to go or what to do. I went to the beach a couple times, and the second time, on Monday, we went to Hermosa. And what I didn't know is Monday is fatty day at the beach. That's when all the fats go. Everyone's just not very in shape, and yeah, it's like the B squad. It's kind of like when you go to the fucking strip club on like a Wednesday at noon. It's that version of bodies at the beach. But we stop at my Starbucks over here at Riverside and Laurel Canyon on the way before I get on the freeway. And for the second day in a row, I see Brody Stevens there. He's there like every day, I think. Comedian Brody Stevens. Usually he closes out any of the rooms at the store at like midnight because he's super fucking crazy high energy. I fucking despise that guy for years. And he slowly grew on. I fucking used to hate that dude. He used to be an audience warm-up guy. And anytime you go to those shows, he was so fucking annoying. He's such a fag. I was like, I fucking can't stand this guy. But I don't know. For some goddamn reason, he kind of grew on me. Now I kind of like him. You almost can't not love him a little because he's just such a weirdo. I'll give him this one. He's at least a very unique style of comedy. Really, really got his own thing. Yes! But, I see him again, and I get his Periscope is like pretty big. I think they call him like the king of the Periscope or some shit because he's got a fucking he does it all day. He even does it walking right onto the stage at the store sometimes. Oh, which by the way, he got in a pretty nasty fucking row with old Tony Hinchcliffe about 10 days ago. I didn't know this at the store. Brody got off the stage, and I guess Tony wasn't. He was walking out of the room. And Tony wasn't happy. You can find this. I think it's on YouTube. Just put like Brody Stevens, Tony Hinchcliffe. And Tony's, and you know, Brody gives Tony a nice, walk up to the stage. It's like, my friend, he's got the greatest pot. You know, gives him a nice kind of hype thing. And then he's walking out. And then and Tony's like, yeah, Brody. He's like, all right, he's Periscope. He's like, Brody, get out of here. And he's like, I'm leaving. He's like, I'm on my way out. You don't have to tell me to leave. And he's like, okay, Brody. And they get this weird thing. From the stage to the back of the room, then it kind of ends in Brody's waiting for him, and then when Tony walks off stage and comes out, they get into it in that back hallway, and boy, they really start fucking getting nasty with each other. I love the YouTube description is like, no big deal, just a slight gripe between friends. I'm like, I don't know, it didn't sound like they were very friendly. I don't know, it's pretty good. If you want to check it out, it's like 10 minutes long, but So Brody's all into this Valley shit. He's always like hyping the Valley. He's like, I love the Valley. And he's always like yelling. So I got in my car and I go, 818. And he's like, 818. And he fucking points at me. He's like, that guy knows me. So I go in to Starbucks. I get my, I parked in the back, but he's on the sidewalk there on Riverside, right in front of where my car's parked. So I was going to buy him a coffee. I have fucking terrible in the moment instinct sometimes. I really do. Like sometimes shit's right in front of me and I'm just like, why didn't you just do that? And I'm like, fucking get him a coffee. No, I'm not like, you know, I like him as another comic. It's good to, I mean, I'm just kind of, I don't know what I'm doing with stand-up. I like doing it. I don't know if I'm not trying to make a career out of it. I don't think, at least at this point, maybe if I get better and just like, I don't know. It's just, I'm walking through the woods completely fucking blindfolded doing this. I don't know where I'm going or what's going to happen. But either way. The friendlier and the more elbows you rub with bigger comics kind of helps you out. I'm like, you should buy him a cup of coffee or something. I did it. So I didn't. And the whole time I'm like, why wouldn't you ask him if he wanted a fucking coffee, you idiot? So whatever. I go in. I go, he's like, come here, buddy. Come here. So he pulls me in and he has me on his fucking, he's periscoping and he's got the selfie stick. And he pulls me in and just kind of like interviews me on his thing. I talked to him for maybe like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes on his fucking periscope. It was pretty sweet. I don't know, he's like, what are you doing, man? You stand up? And I start telling him, and then I fuck up, and I go, yeah, I just saw you. I didn't realize this until I got in my car that I said this, what a gaffe it was. Is it G-A-F-F-E, gaffe? Like a French word, is it gaffe? 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 Or is it just G-A-F-F? I don't know. But I made a minor gaffe. He's like, you see me do stand-up? And I was like, yeah, I just saw you open for Jim Florentine last week. He's like, well, it was my show. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I get in the car, and I was like, it was his show, and Florentine, Brody was like the feature, and then Florentine was the last guy to go up. But I said he opened for Florentine like he was a fucking 3-year-in comic. And I was like, God damn it. Why the fuck did I say? I felt so fucking stupid. It's like really mildly insulting. I didn't mean it like that. It just fucking sounded dumb. And I felt like an asshole. I was like, you fucking moron. Anyways, that was kind of funny. So we went to the beach. And of course, it was fucking overcast. Was it 2 days in a row? Yeah, it was. Because we went Sunday to Malibu. And it was sunny as fuck in the valley. I was just dreading. I just had the fucking worst luck. I swear to God. And it always with people from Buffalo, dude. Never fails. They always bring, like, somehow the shit weather follows them. And we get over the goddamn, we start getting up into the mountains over there towards Malibu, and you can just see the line of clouds right at the edge of the water, where you're like, motherfucker. It's sunny everywhere else, but right at the water, and when you get down to the beach, you might as well be in fucking England. It looks like shit, and it's cold and chilly, and you're like, why is this happening? It's fucking, it's 100 degrees at my house. I come to the fucking beach and it's cold. It really, really blows. What else did we, played, oh, okay, so we're driving, we're on the way home from Hermosa. This is the other thing I ate. Like, I mean, you're supposed to, when you're, not that I'm on vacation, but you're almost on vacation by proxy when someone comes out here to visit, and you got to take them around. My boss even gave me off Monday, so I had like a three-day weekend. So I was just eating like shit for like 4 days. I'm like detoxing, trying to get rid of all this fucking shitty food, but I couldn't help it. I could help it, but I'm just an undisciplined, lazy piece of shit. To correct that. We stopped at this Chili's by the beach. It's Monday at like fucking 3 o'clock. No one, and it's all under construction, this plaza over there by, on Sepulveda over there in, I guess it's Hermosa. Place is all ripped up, so no one is in this fucking Chili's. We sit down. The waitress is like the bartender as well. We're in the big bar. You know how Chili's is. There's the one room with the tables, but there's the bar in the middle. I'm telling you, there's like three people. And the entire bar area where we were, there was two other people. And the whole restaurant, there was maybe two or three other tables in the entire fucking Chili's. Waitress comes over. She's super friendly. We ordered the stuff, and like, it's... If there's one thing, like, I'll send it back. If you order, like, chips and salsa or whatever before you're... Or, like you know, with the... And by the way, what happened to the spinach artichoke dip? That's gone. Now it's all queso shit. You might get spinach... Now it's just melted cheese. I'm like, what happened to the fucking artichoke? That shit was the bomb. Fridays got rid of it. Chili's got rid of it. I don't know who made this fucking executive decision, but it's broken my heart because the queso's not nearly as good. But we're waiting. We're not getting the goddamn chips. Now, the point of bringing these fucking things is it's supposed to be like an appetizer before you eat. If they bring the chips with the fucking food, I will send them back. I'm like, no, I don't want these now. Now my fucking dinner's here. I wanted these to fucking nosh. I hate that fucking word. To nosh on before my fucking food came. So they're useless now. So they finally fucking bring them. It actually turned out, I don't know why, it took them fucking, we didn't get anything, we didn't get like fucking steak and lobsters, but I think I got fucking buffalo, those boneless chicken strips, god damn it, those fucking good. Whatever, it took them a while, but that, the food comes, and we never, this waitress never fucking talks to us again. There's another table at the corner, now I honestly, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but the other corner, the table near us were black people, and she was very, there was a white in her 40s. She was so attentive to this table. But because of the way the room is shaped, she'd have to walk past us to go back around and get behind the bar. She probably walked past us 5 times, saw that we were eating, and not once stopped and asked, was everything okay? Didn't even have the fucking wherewithal to ask us, was it everything come out all right? How's your food? And I had an empty fucking Coke for like 10 minutes. And I had to grab her as she walked by and glanced at us really quick and then put her eyes straight back ahead. To walk by and not even now just go, can I get another Coke? Like, are you... There's no one in here. How the fuck... You're just gonna, like, walk by and fucking ignore... She was terrible. She was fucking terrible. I'm like, you're literally just like... But it was weird because she wasn't, like, shitty to us. She was friendly instead and chatty. But then just ignored us. I'm like, do you not know this is part of your fucking... Oh, you know what's funny? She goes, well, I moved to... Where are you guys from? And we start talking. She's like, yeah, I moved to Connecticut. Like I said, this lady's probably early to mid-40s. She's like, yeah, I moved to Connecticut for a couple years, but you know what, I just missed it and came back. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what, you probably went to Connecticut and realized they demanded that you actually fucking work for a living, and you can't just slack off and be a fuckhead like you are here in California, so you probably came back and then got this job back where you could be a fucking, mediocre fucking waitress again and get away with it. Is there a pattern forming here? That's probably what happened. Man, because I walked in a room full of fucking Westies for that money. You know, speaking of which, Ricky Slade, Vince Vaughn, and Maid, I actually started watching True Detective Season 2. I started watching it again last night. I have to fucking see that again. Man, did I love that show. Everyone fucking hated it. I loved that show. It's so noir. There's almost a weird, almost a little bit of like a droplet of David Lynch in it. Just the way they shot it. And they have the music and stuff in it. It's just so fucking dark and weird. So many weird things. When they're driving around with that dead body in the backseat with the sunglasses on. I don't know if I've ever watched... in my entire life, NYPD Blue, because I hadn't seen it in fucking, you know, 15 years. And Sopranos, I think, were the only other fucking TV shows I actually watched a second time. But, God damn it. I love fucking Vince Vaughn. He's such a fucking bad... I love that goddamn character. I love Frank. He's so fucking cool. Love that guy. And Vince Vaughn's so, like... I don't know. It's just such a departure from his normal, like... That, like, talkative asshole kind of role thing. He's such a legitimately fucking intimidating, fucking threatening guy. But, like, he's three-dimensional. He's not like a, you know, whatever. Watch True Detective Season 2. Don't, everyone said it sucked. Don't fucking listen to him. I loved it. I fucking love that show. And I love Colin Farrell as the guy. I love the chick that's his, the girl plays, like, his partner. She's fucking great. It's great. Sorry, I'm still working on that coffee. So that was the Chili's. Oh, and the whole fucking time, they're playing, like, and it was loud. They're playing disco fucking music in there. And I'm just like, who the fuck wants to, it was, like, the worst music. I don't know, it was annoying the shit out of me. It was literally, like, all 19... Like, who the fuck wants to sit here and listen to music from the 19 fucking 70s? Play something from today if you got a place to play Muzak. Who wants to sit here and listen to fucking Burn... fucking Disco Inferno? What is it, Lewis's Party from fucking Ghostbusters? Lewis, I'm going home. Fucking dumb. Who brought the dog? Who brought the shitty waitress? We also went to, I don't know, my mom, she make sure you, I don't know why, my mom loved, even though I don't think we got to see it. She said, you should take him to see that Griffith Park Observatory. So, if you've never been to LA, Griffith Park Observatory is up on top of a hill, basically in Hollywood. You know, I remember it's from the beginning of Terminator. Nice night for a walk, eh? When he fucking beats up the guys. It's also the knife fights from, Rebel Without a Cause, I think even more famously. Remember that? Yeah, it's the ending where... They still have the exact same fucking doors on the front. It's so funny to see it. It's such a classic scene. The ending of, I got the bullets! Remember at the end of fucking Rebel Without a Cause when they shoot Plato? Still those same weird metal doors. I'm like, fucking A. There's the same goddamn doors when James Dean was here 50 fucking years ago. I like shit like that. Call me a faggot. But, It is. I don't remember it ever being this bad, but now it is impossible to get to this place. It's up the way. It's right by that Greek theater, and the only way to get to it, it's all like one lane roads, and to make it worse, there's all these hiking trails and shit like that. So it's just a super busy. There's always fucking people there hiking, taking their dogs and shit, and then you got the observatory too, and the fucking Greek. So it's way overpopulated. They don't have the fucking roads or near. They have 1/80th the parking area that they need to accommodate any, like, the amount of people that live in L.A. It's just a fucking nightmare. And I don't think I'm ever going again after this time. Because I went to go to my mom. I think it was a Sunday afternoon, which was a dumb time to go. But we couldn't even get to it. I mean, we looked for parking for 40 minutes and just sat. And you'll just sit in these lanes of traffic and not move for up to 5 minutes at a time. Just bumper to bumper. All on windy hills. It's a fucking disaster there. So I'm like, all right, well, it's a fucking... Was it Tuesday? It was like a Tuesday, like 8. I'm like, how bad could it be? Yeah, the sun's going down and shit. And we get there, and it is just a fucking ocean of humanity and cars everywhere. And it turns out there's a fucking eclipse I didn't know about. So everyone's got to go and see the eclipse that you can't see, worth a shit. It doesn't look like anything. And my brother, he's like... Oh, that, like, comes along, like, once in a lifetime. Like, no, there's been two eclipses already in my life. Who cares? Yeah, I know, it's a huge celestial event. There's already been two! Talk about a fucking sun dying. There's already been two in my life. He's like, oh, yeah, there's a little eclipse. I'm like, who cares? Who fucking gives you shit? Doesn't even look like anything. I can see if you looked and, like, you could see, like, angels and shit, but it's just like... The sun looks a little weird for a minute. Who gives a fuck? Or whatever the fuck. Who gives a fuck about the fucking sun? So, we miraculously find this parking spot. And it's still about a mile from the fucking observatory where you have to walk uphill on these little... And all you gotta do is walk between parked cars. Like, you have, like, no room to walk. And then you're squished in with everyone else trying to get up there. And I'm just like, this fucking... And it's hot. I'm like, this fucking sucks. And I'm telling him, I'm like, we're going to go through all this. It's going to take us 20 minutes. I mean, you can walk around in the fucking observatory, but it's really pretty boring. And it's all, it's just like, I like outer space stuff, but it's like the most inane of outer space shit. Where you're just like, you don't even really walk out learning anything. You're like, all right, great, big fucking deal. So that's exactly what happened. And the and I'm like, this place is fucking overrun with people. And like, there's an eclipse tonight. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's even worse than usual. And we walk around the fucking thing in 20 minutes and we leave. It took us 40 fucking minutes to get up there and park, and then another 30 to leave, 20 to walk around the fucking building and go, oh, look, there's downtown. You can see everything. Great. Look over there. You can see the Hollywood sign. I am never going there again unless it's like 1 o'clock in the fucking morning on a goddamn, you know, Wednesday. The fucking place, it's so overrated. It would be great if you didn't have to deal with all this shit. It's a nice place to go and look and be able to see the whole fucking city all the way down to the goddamn ocean. But otherwise, fuck the Griffith Park Observatory. It stinks. And if you want to come here and check it out, if you've never been here and you're listening to this, this is fucking hitting your ears, you've never been to L.A., don't worry about seeing it. I'm telling you, it ain't worth the fucking trouble, because everyone's going to be like, make sure you see the Griffith Park Observatory. No, don't. Who cares? Look, fucking Google image search it. We went to Fourth Wall over there. No one's ever seen me do stand-up live in my fam. And I'm rusty. I've in the last 2 weeks, I've only gone up fucking a couple times at all, just because I've been busy mostly with him. And Rocha hit me up and he's like, yo, you should fucking stop by. Everybody wants to fucking meet your brother. Because the Verzies were there and shit. Which, oh, they were on the Verzies were on the Gong Show last night. On ABC. I don't get ABC, so I don't know. I don't have fucking regular cable. I don't know how to make a restaurant. I don't have regular, like, cable. I don't get, like, channels 2, 4, and fucking 7, so. I already know that they had been voted off by shitty Ken Marino, I guess, anyways, which blows. But they were on. So, it's, like, a little after 10, and I show up, and I thought the show was over, and they were just hanging out in the parking lot. So, I was just going, like, because, yeah, it was, like, 10:30, and I was, like, he was flying out the next morning, and I was like, well, we got to fucking, I don't want to just go home at like 10. Still got a little bit of time, so stop by and see these guys. So I get there, and the fucking show is still going. And everyone's like, you got to get up, bro. Everybody, you got to fucking get up, man. Come on, your brother's here. You never saw you stand up. Like, I really, really didn't fucking want. I really did not want to, because I wasn't in the headspace to go up. I went there completely not knowing I was going to go up. And I wanted to be fucking like, I didn't want anyone to see me and have a, mediocre set in front of anybody that's never seen me do stand-up. So I really didn't want to go. And I basically got fucking dragged on the stage with a goddamn vaudeville hook to go up. And I don't know, I was kind of fucking bummed because I didn't do very well. I forgot my the last bit I wrote that's doing pretty good has a lot of beats in it, and I hadn't even fucking rehearsed it in like a week. And I looked at it quick before I went up, and I'm trying to get it together, and I couldn't remember all the parts to it, and just fucking, I don't know, I was bummed. Didn't fucking go very well. Kind of sucked, but did that. The other thing about my brother, when we drive around, he can never, if you have music on, he can never stop fucking tapping his fingers. He is constantly tapping and playing drums with his hands, and he'll have his fucking fingers on the, if my windows are down, he'll have his hand on the roof with his fingers tapping along to any fucking song that's on. He never stops doing it. And it got by like the third or fourth day, like my shoulder would like cringe up. I'm like, you fucking drive me crazy with the fucking drums. Please stop. I was the fucking drummer in the family. I don't know where this came from. I don't know. He's a guitar player. I don't know where the fuck where he got this thing with the fucking drums. But the fucking tapping never, it was like a nervous fucking thing. It just never stopped. And then he would, every time I'd get out, when I'd get out of my car, I could see that where his hand was on my roof, there was fingerprints all over the fucking paint, all over the top of the fucking door. I'm like, oh, I just had my car washed. But that sucked. Speaking of drums, we went to eat over there at El Capadre in Sunset. And across the street is the giant guitar center. And we're walking around in there, and they got a lot of famous guitars and shit in there. And then I'm about to leave, and I see upstairs, by where you walk into the building, there's a stairway that says drums upstairs. I'm like, all right, let's go look at the drums just for the shit of it. And I went up there, and I should not have, because I fucking want a drum set so bad. I was just like, oh my God, look at these fucking, they had the coolest drum sets. They're all like $600-some. They weren't even that much for like a whole kit. The problem is they give you, it's the kit, but it's not the cymbals. The cymbals themselves is about another $600. But they had, I don't know why, I've just had an itch to be in a fucking band and play drums, and I was losing my shit. I was like, I want a fucking drum set so bad. I kind of can't get one because I don't have anywhere to fucking play them. I'd have to get a set and just go right into a band. I can't, if I sit around and just play, not in a band, I get mad because I'm not as good as I want to be because I never took lessons. I was self-taught. Slick's hair back. But I'm still, I can't do all the stuff I want to do. And to do that, I'd have to take lessons, which costs money and time. I don't have fucking time to do that shit, you know? I got too much other stuff going on. But I'd still love to just fucking get a set and get a fucking band and play. And that'd be cool. I'd be fine. Because I'd have focus, you know what I mean? I'd have the songs that we're doing. And I wouldn't just sit there and play for hours and be like, I fucking suck, you know? But, fucking A, Dwayne. I wanted some fucking A. I wanted some fucking drums, man. That place is cool. So is that everything? Oh yeah, this is the other thing. So yeah, we went to Venice Beach, but it was fine. It was nice. It wasn't as not burdensome, but it wasn't anywhere near as like stressful or intimidating as I thought it was going to be. Because like I said, we're not super close, but it was fine. Everything was fine. But just to punish me, the universe, because I'm not supposed to be eating shitty food, and I do so much better when I eat healthy. Every fucking time I ate something shitty, it would fucking spill on me somehow. Just so I look like an asshole. I dropped a fucking hole, like a piece of fucking chicken finger with buffalo sauce. Fell all these. I'm wearing light colored shirts, by the way. Spilled a bunch of meat, chilies. We went to fucking Rainbow Room and I got the chicken strips there, and I the whole entire fucking knife full of goddamn chicken wing sauce lands on my shirt, light gray shirt, right in the middle, hits it and slides down all over me. I went to fucking Venice Beach, and then I haven't had soft serve ice cream in like, I don't know, possibly years, and I got a fucking ice cream cone, and it was so goddamn good, and they gave it to me in this big waffle cone, and I'm eating, but like they really, you know, hats off to them for doing this, because they really filled it. They really packed that fucker in and made it really big. But I'm walking, and it is fucking dripping all over me. Got all over my goddamn light gray colored fucking tank top thing. So I have to walk down Venice Boardwalk with chocolate ice cream drizzles all fucking over my shirt. I'm like, I look like a fucking ass. Like, what am I, Homer Simpson? I look like an asshole. We look like assholes right now, man. But yeah, that's how shit works out when I eat fucking junk food. Oh my god, I'm like running out of fucking time. I have so much more show to do. What am I at here? Fridays in the summertime is much easier to get to work. It takes much less time. I can't see the numbers on the recorder because this stupid fucking display window. I gotta figure out how to make this goddamn thing so not so dim. I can't see the fucking numbers. Piece of fuck. We also, in the middle of my thing, we went to see Dunkirk. Dunkirk, the Chris Nolan movie. I haven't given a shit about a Chris Nolan movie since Dark Knight was coming out. That's the last thing that I was excited for and liked. I have a lot of problems with Dark Knight, and it's almost even kind of, it's not aged well for me. I still think there's some great shit in it, and I generally still like it, but I don't head over heels a lot. I think there's a lot of fucking problems with it. Even though the Joker's awesome and everything, obviously. But, I have not cared. I loved Chris Nolan for a handful of years, obviously right from fucking from Memento. I've been a fan of him since his first movie. I think he crescendoed with Prestige. I still love Batman Begins. Love it. Like Dark Knight, lost me with the third Batman movie, and his last fucking three I had sucked and I didn't give a fuck about. I mean, I wouldn't say Inception sucked. It had some great innovative stuff. It had some really cool fucking visuals and shit, and very unique way of telling a story, but DiCaprio, I don't know, I just didn't really care about the story and shit that much, honestly. But that some of the stuff in it was really fucking, I can't say he sucks, you know, it's, he lost me, storytelling-wise. Anyways, so this one's back. I thought it was about World War I from the helmets. I mean, the fucking British still had those weird, like, salad bowl fucking helmets in World War II? What the hell? I guess so. When I was first seeing the trailers for it, I thought there was some kind of, because they were, it told you so little. It just showed guys in one of those troop carriers looking up in the sky, looking all terrified. I thought there was some kind of supernatural or sci-fi element to it, but no, it was straight up fucking World War II movie. And the reviews were through the roof, but even though these days you really can't trust reviews anymore, because they will fucking go insane over anything now that doesn't, like I always say, doesn't have Captain America in it. They love it, basically. That's any kind of like serious artistic kind of movie, no matter how fucking flawed it is. Anyways, I'm excited to fucking go. I need to get over shitballs. Fuck a duck. Let me over, cunt. Hang on a second. I gotta get the fuck over here. Oh, I'm not gonna make this exit, am I? Come on, truck. Move it, fucker. Oh, this is gonna be hairy. I'm gonna have to cross over. Okay, I made it. So I'm getting off on Washington Boulevard here at the 405. But I was way the fuck over and barely just made this exit. Whatever, get to the fucking movie. So we went to see the ArcLight Hollywood, where the fucking it's expensive. It's $18. That's why I usually don't go unless I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like it. Cause I'm like, how bad can you fuck up a World War II movie? If it's just a straight World War II movie, and the screen is fucking massive. It's really nice. So it's basically like a bet, and I try to not go to. It's like gambling. I try not to go to ArcLight Hollywood unless I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like what the fuck I'm gonna see. So I gambled this time. And fucking movie is amazing. Dunkirk. This is what I'm going to recommend to you right now. Don't drink a coffee right before or during it, because it is fucking, it felt like a horror movie. I've never seen anything like this. It is so fucking tense. And I'll tell you, the score in this goddamn movie never stops. The score, like, all I could think was the people playing, like, the violinist's fucking arms must have been ready to fall off, because just constantly like, like the high strings on a violin just constantly going. Just like ratcheting up the tension fucking the entire time. I can't remember the last time a fucking movie did that. And it's like, he takes it across a cruise. Three planes of action. There's Tom Hardy in the plane in the sky. There's the main character kid who's like on the ground. And there's a civilian, because they did this like civilian boat lift thing where the troops were all trying to get out of there. I guess, I'd never heard of this. I don't know anything about this. I guess the Germans, when they were attacking England in World War II, one part of it, they completely took over a fucking part of Britain and pushed the fucking forces, like they totally overran the place and were kicking the shit out of the English and pushed them all the way to the fucking, like, to the sea, so that they were out of places to go. So all these fucking British, they're trying to get out of there. I don't know where they're trying to go. Were they trying to get to France, to Allied France? I don't know. That wasn't clear. I should have done. I wanted to do some research. I've been so fucking busy because my brother just left Wednesday. And then I had that fucking, I don't even have fucking time to go in all this shit. And the chick was over all fucking Wednesday night. I got no sleep Wednesday. Went into Thursday. I went home last night and basically just vegged out and went to bed. So I haven't had a fuck. I've been meaning to, and it's been a little bit busy at work. I haven't been able to. I really wanted to read in all this Dunkirk shit about the real historical thing, but I still don't know anything about it. So they're stuck basically at the shoreline, and everyone's just desperately trying to get out of there. They're trying to get, like, whatever ships they got left to come get them. And while they're sitting there waiting for the ships, they're still getting shot at and bombed by the fucking Germans. So it's just basically like this, like, unseen monster coming after them, constantly shooting. And they keep getting stuck in all these situations where, like, boats are sinking. I don't know. It was just super fucking tense. But the fucking, dude, the aerial photography and the dogfight scenes and the planes are unfucking believable. Like, it feels like you're in the fucking, they did such a good job of capturing that shit. It was like the most realistic, probably the most realistic, like, portrayal of, like, dogfights ever fucking shown. I mean, since Howard Hughes made fucking Hell's Angels, for Christ's sakes. Like, it was unbelievable. It was so fucking cool. And I'm just like, it really didn't take much. A couple shots. I mean, it's hard. Those fighter planes, I mean, if this thing is, I'm going off what the movie showed me. I'm sure he researched the shit out of it, but I mean, it's probably not easy to get a plane in your sights, but once you do, it really only takes a couple shots to bring a plane down. It's pretty funny. It'd be like, you see the bullets go, and then 2 seconds later, smoke just comes out. It's like, I guess that makes sense. I just never really thought about it. It's funny. But the aerial stuff, I want to see it again. I have to go see this again in, like, IMAX, because I saw it in regular 35, and I want to see it again anyways, but everyone's like, dude, you got to fucking see it in IMAX. It's killer. I'm like, I fucking want to go again. Because those fucking dogfights were so goddamn good. Another Chris Nolan movie with Tom Hardy in a mask where you could barely fucking tell what he's saying. Pretty funny. So it was great. I fucking loved it. First Chris Nolan movie I have loved genuinely since, I guess, like I said, like Dark Knight almost 10 years ago. And The only minor gripe I had with it was, I guess this is a mild spoiler alert, so if you don't want to know, jump ahead. They're not even allowed, they don't even, I don't think they ever say the word Germans or Germany. They just call them the enemy. Even in the opening crawl, it says the enemy has pushed the British to the sea. And I'm like, is there some like new thing in Europe where they're trying to be like, hey, we need to forgive the Germans at some point, so stop calling them Nazis, or stop even saying Germany so Germany can heal. From the, I'm like, is that like a weird, is that like a social justice warrior push going on in Europe now? Where you're supposed to say you're not supposed to call them Nazis or even Germany anymore. I don't know. I could be completely speculating, but it was weird. And then you never, I guess, I don't know. I love to see like a production featurette of how they shot some of this stuff too, because I know how much he uses practical effects, and some of the stuff in this was like, oh my god, was that real? Like, did they actually just fucking do that? I'm dying to know how they shot it and what they did. But I'd love to ask him, like, why don't you ever really show, you never see, like, the German pilot. You know, like, in Star Wars, it'll show the TIE fighter guy. You never see a fucking German in the cockpit. You don't see a German once. The very end, they get, Tom Hardy fucking crash lands on a beach. And you kind of see some Nazis in soft focus approach him. That's it. You never see one goddamn Nazi up close. You never see any Nazi pilots. It was a really, like, just faceless, weird enemy. And I was like, did you do that on purpose, or is it, again, like I said, a thing to you know, try to not give Germany so much shit anymore? I don't know. It was kind of an odd choice, and that was my only minor complaint, that it feels a little, the bad guy feels a little faceless. I mean, I can see it to some degree, but, I mean, Jesus Christ, can you show us somebody? I mean, there was people on the bad guy planes and shit, too, or on the beach, or whatever the fuck.
The fucking Germans take the shit out of the fucking British, all right?
I gotta stop saying all right. He doesn't say all right like that. I gotta stop doing that. That's not an accurate fucking Tony Soprano. But yeah, I loved it, man. I want to see it again. Dunkirk. That's the movie. It's basically just people just running from enemy gunfire. But it's fucking terrifying, man. Some of those fucking scenes are so goddamn. So people just drowning in fucking merchant ships and shit. And ooh, it's badass. I am almost to fucking work. I think I hit an hour, right? Maybe? I don't even know if I hit an hour. Maybe I should cut and do the rest. I'm going to Corinne's birthday tonight. Maybe I should do the rest on the ride home, but then that means I won't put it up until Friday night. If I wrap it now, I can put it up in an hour at work, and you'll have a show. At least you'll have a fucking show. I know it was scatterbrained and not super solid, and I didn't have the energy and the mental wherewithal to go down all the fucking fun, silly side roads that I usually do, but what am I going to do? I can't. I'm a fucking busy guy. No, this is a rough week. I didn't even know if I'd... So I'm almost thinking about not doing it this week, but I'm like, as they say, the show must go on. Fuck, man. God damn it. I think that's it. I will hopefully have a better show next week. You do this show, and sometimes people you hope will never hear it because you take a lot of humor and liberty at their expense. Not meaning it, but anyone that doesn't know any better, would really get their feelings hurt if they heard it. And someone did, and I hate when this fucking happens. Someone I really expected to never hear this fucking show did. And it turned out very bad, and they were really hurt. I said some really shitty... I mean, it was all trying to be funny, but it was... I have a rotten sense of humor. I don't fucking mean any of it. It's just to try to make people laugh. But sometimes the people that the jokes are made at the expense of hear it, and... Yeah, someone did, and I feel awful. I doubt that this person is listening, but if you are, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, and they were a very good person. I fucking feel awful. I didn't, you know, I said some horrible fucking jokes about them. I honestly didn't mean it, didn't think you'd ever hear it, so I feel bad. If it's any caveat, I feel horrible, and I'm sorry. But I'm sure they'll never talk to me again, but I feel fucking awful nonetheless about it. So that's that. I'll leave that weird, mysterious void hanging. I think that's it, man. I guess I will talk to you next week. Now it's going to be tough because it's Friday, and I do usually do the show on Wednesday, so that's even less time for things to happen for me to be able to... You know what? I'll carry some of the shit I was supposed to talk about this episode into the next one, and maybe it'll be like a fucking tire patch of the air coming out of the tire, but instead of air, in this case it's creativity, man, and laughs. I'll put a patch over the laughs that escaped
Shut the fuck up, self.